what we use for the new moons and Sabbaths can be very much classified as the only biblical liturgical calendar, because that's how the Bible's written. Every month is according to a new moon. The word month and new moon are synonymous in the word Kodesh. And so for years, people have created things called liturgical calendars where they would have certain scriptures read on certain days of the Gregorian week of the year that was constructed by Julius Caesar and adapted by Pope Gregory the VIII. And that is something that just man made. Whereas if you look at the new moon based calendar that we have, and everyone could have got a copy of last new moon, you'll see that last new moon, last Sabbath, that the word of Yahweh came by Haggai the prophet, and he spoke, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that Yahweh's house should be built. And so that was a sixth new moon message that Haggai the prophet gave to the people of Israel. And I think that's a fitting thing for us to consider in the world we live in. Everyone's saying, it is not the time that the Lord's house should be built. Not now. It's later. It's some other time. Or it already happened. You know, and later in the week, just 3 days ago, Ezekiel received the words from Ezekiel 8:1 on the fifth day of the new moon. As he sat in his house, and the elders of Judah sat before him, the Spirit of Yahweh fell upon him in the book of Ezekiel. And so the movement of the Holy Spirit very much is at play there. And so that's something I want to try to make a point of us considering more. In understanding what happens in biblical history, and you should be able to go through your Bible and read those things as some kind of instruction, and I'm sure in some way it's going to match up with the things that are going on in the world. We stand up for prayer and singing. Our prayer comes from 2 John, chapter 1, 8 through 9. Our Father, let us in the receiving of truth and love look to ourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Teach us to not transgress against thy commandments and to abide in the doctrine of Christ, that we have both the Father and the Son. And so we have our very last psalm from Psalm 119 here, Taw, which is the 22nd letter or part of that psalm. It is to the tune of martyrdom. And that's the one that we have pretty well. Maybe we should hum a few lines to get our minds straight. It is Psalm 30 that we usually sing it to.
Our perfect bride. thought David, after he just got done singing all of Psalm 119, would have ended off by saying all these things about forgetting God's law and begging God to put his law in his mind and in his tongue. And then especially the last line stuck out to me. I, like a lost sheep, went astray. Thy servant seek and find. For thy commands I suffered not to slip out of my mind. I think those are pretty important words if you think David just ended Psalm 119, which sang the praises of God's law the entire time. For him to then say that at the very end means everybody should be practicing, praying to God for him to find them like a lost sheep. Pretty important stuff to keep in mind. If David does it, you should too. Well, our first resuscitation is out of Matthew 5:13-20, and then we will go to our Psalter. It's a confession of Christ and of the law. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
Glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets.
I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass,
one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commands and shall teach men so,
he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
But whosoever shall do and teach them,
the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees,
you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Do you know why the Pharisees and the scribes were not righteous? They were hypocrites and they didn't have God's law and word in their heart. They only had it in their memory. And that's why their righteousness was never good enough to get them into heaven. I need a Psalter. All right, so last Sabbath we sang from 31a, and so we have 31b and then all of Psalm 32 that we're going to sing.
I was torn to all my foes and to my friends a few, and specially reproached of those that were my neighbors near. When they me saw, they found God, as men are to me give salvation. For thy great mercy's sake, let me not be ashamed, O God, for on thee God I have.
To remember that these are Psalms of Christ. Psalm 31 is actually a psalm that Christ quoted while being crucified, so it's not something to entirely be forgot. Psalm 32 is
now that they come here.
can ever get old, and I see a common theme in a lot of what we have already looked at today. It's probably meant for all of our souls to consider who the blessed man is, and that's the man whose sins are pardoned. But if you notice, pardon doesn't come because God just wants to pardon everybody. Pardon comes, and you know you've been pardoned if you have these other attributes that he has mentioned. Attributes of wanting to know more about God, desiring His forgiveness, and confessing your sins before Him and knowing that He's faithful to forgive, which is another theme right out of last Bible study that we covered from 1 John. It is not the unrighteous that come to God, but those who are already justified by faith, who even have access to God. The wicked are rather like a horse that can't understand, that needs a bit stuck in their mouth to try to drag them along, but that's all you're doing is dragging them along. It's a mechanical thing, a bit. There are some people who have horses. I've seen the Amish log with these horses that don't need bits. It's pretty impressive. They go down to the bottom of the hill, drop the log off, go back to their master, get hitched on, come back down, do it all day long. No bit needed. Pretty amazing. You can sit down, and we're going to go to Bible study. I'm going to say the resuscitation of the Ten Commandments, as well as our historical lesson, at a later point. We have our message coming from 2 John. We believe in the doctrine of Christ, and to believe in the law of God, and to have fellowship with one another, based upon those two doctrines. And I would say, as you understand it, as a marriage partner to the Lord.
Right. I thought that was pretty interesting about the whole pastor and servant and mistress and maid servant. I guess that was, a common practice in ancient Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, you know, because then we got Sarah and Hagar and Leah and
Zilpah and Zilpah.
Right. And
yeah, it was a pretty common practice.
And I guess they were super loyal to each other in a way.
We have our last psalm, which is also a loose leaf psalm. Here we have them.
We're going to do both sides. I have 2A. There's not even an E in there.
We just do A.
We should have more.
There's another A over here.
Christian, I have another
one.
I need one.
Stand up.
Ye righteous in the Lord rejoice. Thank you.
Sabbath in which we generally try to get the Ten Commandments into our monthly worship. And so hopefully this will come on the heels of the understanding that we got out of the Confession of Christ and of the Law from Matthew 5, 13 through 20, Psalm 119, as well as what we were taught today in 2 John from the words of the Lord that he gave to him. And God spake all of these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image,
or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above,
or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy God in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
seated for our historic confessional lesson. So this is from Gregorius Thaumaturgus, very common name, most of our know. Most would just call him Gregory for short. He was of Neo-Caesarea and lived about the time of 270. He is a great example of a pre-Nicene, which happened in 325 A.D., confessor of the term Trinity and user of it. Some people would try to have you believe that that was invented at the Council of Nicaea and Constantine, like, he just was a great false theologian that dreamed it all up, and it was nowhere in the Bible, or no one believed it. So he serves as our example to show us that this was definitely, he's obviously not the only one that teaches us that this was the case long before Nicaea. And so if you'd like to say it with me. There is one God, the Father of the living Word, who is the substantive wisdom and eternal power and image of God, the perfect begetter of the perfect begotten, the Father of the only begotten Son. There is one Lord, one of one, God of God, the image and likeness of the Godhead, the mighty Word, the wisdom which comprehends the constitution of all things, and the power which produces all creation, the true Son of the true Father, invisible of invisible, and incorruptible of incorruptible, and immortal of immortal, and everlasting of everlasting. And there is one Holy Spirit, having his existence from God, and being manifested by the Son, namely, to man, the perfect likeness of the perfect Son, life, the cause of the living, the sacred fount, holiness, the leader of sanctification, and who is revealed God, the Father, who is over all things and in all things, and God the Son, who is through all things, a perfect Trinity, not divided nor differing in glory, eternity, for sovereignty. Neither indeed is there anything created or subservient in the Trinity, nor introduced, as though not there before by coming in afterwards. Nor indeed has the Son ever been without the Father, nor the Spirit without the Son, but the Trinity is ever the same, unvarying and unchangeable. Amen. And so you can see a very, a lot of similarity, actually, in the Athanasian Creed, some of what's said, as well as the Nicene Creed, that is said in these words. And so it's very obvious that this was something these folks had to establish as known to people. This Gregory is a pretty interesting character. He was a student of Origen. I'm not a huge fan of Origen. But nevertheless, he was accounted to have single-handedly just about converted an entire city by preaching. And God gave him some miracles, I guess, that were also performed by him. And the Lord then used that city mightily for Christianity. So there's a reason to give him some extra credit for what he's done and for his good doctrine that's there, that's definitely scriptural. And so we're going to end here with today's Sabbath worship, and we're going to close in prayer. We're going to make some special mention for some friends from a sister church, a sister lady that are in need of prayer. Dave and Kathy Gardner are in need of prayer. Dave had a stroke last night or yesterday, and that's a thing that we should keep in mind, because I know that's hard on them. And Dave was planning on coming and being with us for our Feast of Ingathering and Tabernacles this year, so that probably will not be happening unless this is just something minor, which I don't think it is. Let's pray. Father Yahweh, thank you for the day. Thank you for the Sabbath that we have today. Thank you for the word that you give us that we can live by, that we can understand. We ask you to put it in our heart, teach it to our minds, help us understand all these psalms that we sing, all these recitations that we hopefully resuscitate and not just recite. Make it a living word in us by your Spirit, and not a dead letter that kills. I ask you to help us in understanding these things. Give us true faith in you and knowledge of the things that we need to know to confirm our faith. I ask you to be with those that are worshiping you today, as well as those who worship on other days that are part of your elect church, part of your elect lady. And we ask you specifically to be with this, those that are standing in the gap right now for the in between us and the tyranny that is happening, those who are standing up and saying that we will not have our rights violated and have our bodies injected with things that we do not believe in. Give us all strength in this regard. We can stand. Give the lesser magistrates that are in our counties and our states the ability to stand up and tell tyranny to back off. We ask you to teach Christians how that we can support those and teach them, if we're able, the doctrine of your word. We ask you also to be with those we love. We ask you to be with Dave and Kathy today. Well, we know that they are suffering and you know, in need of strength. And give them peace that can help them understand what's going on and to have trust and faith in your will. Come to pass. We ask you to be with those who are looking at possibly losing their jobs here soon, and give them strength in what they're going to do for making the stands that they're making. Be with those families and be with those men and help them continue to stand for what is right and keep them strong. We thank you for all the many blessings that we have.